And now I have the honor of introducing to you one of my my oldest friends, a guy who, with help of Kevin Spiedel and Michelle White and others, helps kick off Progressive Democrats of America to stand on the shoulders of the work done generations before by so many. Without further ado, I bring you our director, PDA's director, Tim Carpenter.
Good afternoon. We want to thank everybody for making the time to be here, not only to hear a bunch of speeches, but to organize. And our theme all weekend is going to be organize, organize, organize. And to model that, I'm going to begin the program right now to bring up our first panel. Many of you in this room were stood with PDA at Roxbury less than 5.5 months ago when we left the convention. And many people in that room thought what we were attempting to do could not be accomplished. In fact, there are many people in this room that bet me we wouldn't come to this day, that we wouldn't live to be 6 months old as a progressive organization inside and outside the Democratic Party. And your presence here today sends a loud and clear message, as you saw from our opening speakers. From the outside to the inside, Progressive Democrats for America for the last 5.5 months has been struggling to make a difference. And your presence here now, at this moment, following the inaugural of our president, sends a loud and clear message that the progressive movement is alive and growing here in this country, and we thank you. The issue that brought many of us together these past months was what happened in Ohio. And we've all thanked Barbara Boxer, Senator Boxer, and Congresswoman Charlotte Tuff Jones, and Congressman John Conyers, who took the lead in the Congress. But in PDA, we're all about the grassroots, and we want you to meet some people you may not have met yet. Please welcome the attorneys that helped us in our case, Susan Tredd, and all the attorneys. Please come forward and meet us. Meet the Green Party leadership. Pat, our vice presidential candidate, who started the lawsuit in Ohio for the recount. Pat, please come on up. Up for Democracy, the coalition that helped lead it. Diane Seamus. This is the team that was in the streets and in the streets that made a difference. Please welcome the Ohio team.
Bob Petrakis, Peter Prakarski, and we're missing Cliff Arnebeck, who's back in Ohio, but thank you all very much for such a warm welcome. Ohio is now an eternal symbol of the vast electile dysfunction of 2004. The video images of voters, mostly African American and young college students, waiting in torturous lines for hours on end to try to vote, will be indelibly cast in our collective consciousness. The disparity between the exit polls and the alleged results of Ohio are evidence of fraud. It was enough evidence of fraud in the Ukraine to overturn the Ukrainian election. Why wasn't it enough to overturn the Ohio results, which of course would have overturned the nation? As Peter Prakarski says, the laws of statistics do not stop at the borders. It's easy to say that you want every vote to count. And people say that. We want every vote to count. But until you take action to thoroughly expose, dissect, and digest what happened in November of 2004, there will never be any change. It will happen again and again. We will never be able to raise our voices through our votes or change issues that are important to us or have candidates in office that we actually vote for until we can change the election system, which is utterly broken. We applaud Barbara Boxer for standing up and having a spine. We applaud the representatives who had a spine and stood up and argued and sort of challenged. And we applaud all of you for your phone calls, your emails, your letters, your presence on Capitol Hill to influence that. Without all of you and everyone across the country, it would never have happened. We must commit ourselves to changing our election system, to securing our vote and our voices. Until we get the election system right, we're never going to change anything else, and we need to recognize that. That's why we're here today to ask you to stay committed, to stay involved in the election process issues, to support the groups that are working toward this, including CaseOhio.org, FreePress.org, National Ballot Integrity Project, which is BallotIntegrity.org, and a new organization that we are starting in partnership with National Ballot Integrity, Case America. Yeah. Andy Stevenson, formerly of BlackBoxVoting.org, is joining in with us and Phil Fry of, where's Phil Fry? Phil Fry, you're supposed to be up here, of CaseOhio.org to start Case America. Our website, thanks to Gary Crane of FairElections.us, is CaseAmerica.org. It is not up yet, but keep looking. And again, stay committed to changing our election process so that we can get change every place and take back our country. Thank you.
I'm going to be brief here. I'm Bob Fitrakis, and I'd urge y'all to subscribe to the Columbus Free Press, started in 1970 after the Kent State shootings, and in many cases a victim of COINTELPRO. And I'm thinking you're seeing the new unleashing of COINTELPRO. Let's just say that we're going to get to the bottom of this at freepress.org, and that we understand when you allow private partisan millionaires and billionaires to secretly count the votes, that isn't fair. It doesn't meet any standard of transparency. They tell us that we should get over it. We should get over Wally O'Dell, one of the president's rangers and pioneers who visits the Crawford Ranch, secretly counting the votes, and then all his machines in heavily Democratic Toledo freezing up on election day and eight times as many being rejected in the inner city. We're supposed to get over migration of votes to obscure third-party candidates. We're supposed to get over votes in southern Appalachian communities at 98.55% when they tell us all but 10 people voted, and we knock on doors and immediately find 25 people who didn't vote. They call us conspiracy theorists. Well, the last time they said this about me, I said that crack air, southern air transport, had been brought up by state money and was bringing cocaine into our community. Two major investigative journalism awards later, they quit calling me a conspiracy theorist. They're telling us to get over this. We're not going to get over it till we prove that this was the largest fraud, and that which they used to do in the third world, the subversions of government all around the world, they're now doing in the United States, and we are unafraid, and we shall uncover this. We will not get over it, but we shall overcome.